Hi again, everybody. We welcome you into ESP Media coverage of Molar Fighting Crusader Athletics. It is Molar lacrosse time as spring coming upon us. And it is, believe it or not, our third season of doing these podcasts. And back with us for another year is head coach Sean McGinnis. And coach, good to see you.
Good to see you. How's everything going?
Oh, man, it's been great. And we had Tim Held in here earlier talking baseball today. So that means when you and Tim are in here, that means springtime is right around the corner, theoretically anyway.
Right, so. Just a couple more days before the first day of practice. So we're all excited and looking forward to another good year.
You got to be ready to get things going. But it's not like you haven't had things going during the offseason as well. I mean, you've been really keeping things busy, keeping guys kind of acclimated with each other.
Yeah, you know, we've done a lot of stuff in the last couple of years is working to a better offseason. You know, we ended up short to what our goals were last year, and we had to start the summer a little early and had a good summer of our kids working out and with our new strength coach. And then we did a lot of travel throughout the summer and a couple events on the East Coast, and then our guys do some club lacrosse. And so, yeah, I mean, we just, you know, get out of last year and kind of regroup, think about what we have to do for this year and start after it in the summer.
As we kind of start things off, too, and first off, we want to thank right off the bat, too, Total Wealth Planning. And you can contact Rob Lemons at 513-984-6696. Visit him on the website at TWP, that's for Total Wealth Planning, TWP Team. com. And appreciate this the sponsorship for our podcast here as we get things started. And okay, yeah, you want to kind of put last year in the rearview mirror. It wasn't a horrible season,
no,
by any stretch of the imagination. You know, looking back, 15-7 ended up being the record. Three of those seven losses were to one team.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to beat a team. Well, it's, you always say it's hard to beat a team three times, and you know, St. X got the better of us each time. But you know, at the end of the day, we kind of said like we weren't that last game in the regional finals. Like we weren't 15-7 bad. Just you know, we just had a real flat game. We came out flat, and they, you know, kind of like us in 16, they exactly. Or in 17, they came out. We came out on fire and, you know, controlled the game, and they did the same thing to us last year, and they went on to win state titles. So, you know, yeah, overall it was a very successful year, and we had a, you know, a lot of good things to look on and a lot of good things that we thought we did well and we can add to this year.
As you continue, and of course 2 years ago it was the state championship, and one of those teams that you got through was St. X. Last year St. X goes all the way. The strength of lacrosse in Southwest Ohio and in the greater Cincinnati area just continues to be amazing. And that's got to be helping you to build this program that you want to put together. We've talked about it for years now, kind of making it that a destination sport to come to Molar and play.
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, those aspirations that I had, you know, 6 years ago is, you know, wanting to build a program and have a program that has culture and an identifiable culture. You know, we're starting to really, you know, have those identities and those things in our program. And it's showing by the last two freshman classes have been over 20 kids that have decided to come out and play lacrosse. And I think the parity of lacrosse in Southern Ohio with high schools, it keeps getting a little closer and closer. And we've, you know, when you come to Loveland, you know, we've not been that successful. And those kids are growing up now seeing that, you know, if you work hard and you do the right things, you can beat Molar. And same thing for the, you know, the other high schools that are out there beating St. X or getting, you know, farther in the regional tournament. And regional semis than they have been before. So I just think the parity is getting that much closer down here. You know, you look from a regional standpoint, from media, you know, people who report on high school across the country are definitely looking at Cincinnati and looking in Cleveland now and not just Central Ohio.
Yeah, and that's an exciting thing now to have that sport. And I think it's going to bode well for the young kids who are watching this, the fast-paced, just everything about the lacrosse, I think, is just going to continue to make it grow as they go through and get older and older.
Yeah,
high school.
No doubt. I mean, you know, you have you know, the Paul Rabel, and he's kind of gone away from the major league lacrosse, the outdoor in the spring or in the summer spring, and now he's starting his own PLL lacrosse, professional lacrosse league, and it's going to be on NBC. And then you've got
really?
Yeah, you got these. He's got these. other abilities outside of like ESPN 2 and ESPN U and 3 and the ESPN Watch and all that stuff. I mean, the college lacrosse, if you can find it, you know, go on the computer and you go on the college website, their sports website, you're going to be able to stream college lacrosse. So it's just at our fingertips that much more. And like you said, I mean, kids start to see it more. They start to play it more. This could turn out to be, a hotbed of, high school lacrosse eventually.
Without a doubt. Within your confines of your program and for returning players, maybe even some of the now kids that are freshmen that will be playing for the first time this year, what's it been like during the off season? Just training, being together, and obviously some play other sports as well, but just trying to get all these guys together to get them ready for what's going to start here in a couple of weeks.
The biggest thing is, like we talk about, is like turning the page. We finished a season in the regional finals. Some of our guys go out and play club lacrosse in June, and then we pick up in July and usually do about two events in July. So really it's just getting the next group. And so we have 10 seniors. And we really wanted them to go out this summer and work with our guys when we're doing we're at National High School Lacrosse Showcase. You know, we had a handful of our seniors. We had about, I think, four or five of our seniors there working with more younger guys. Like Braden Titus never stopped. I mean, kid had like double blisters on his feet. And, you know, he's like, we're short defenders. And, you know, he's showing, you know, leadership by action. And then, like, Cole Grillo was there and working with the younger guys. So we start really trying to bring up some of those rising juniors and rising sophomores. And then in the fall when we get back to school, usually right after Labor Day, we just jump right into lifting 3 days a week. And can't say enough good things about our strength coach, Ryan Ross, and the strength staff as well that he's developed in a very short time. It's a game changer. And I mean, I think you're going to see, the fruits of his labors, those first couple games, when you just see that we're just physically stronger and we are just physically faster, than some of the teams out there.
Well, that'll be exciting to watch as we get into the season that'll start March 15th against Milford. We'll get into that coming up here in a few moments. Tell me a little bit, and I've seen the Twitter feed, and boy, you're pretty active on Twitter, by the way, and I love it. I absolutely love it. The box lacrosse. I'm seeing a lot about this. Tell us about box lacrosse.
Yeah, one of the travel teams in Ohio, Resolute Lacrosse, based out of Columbus, has started a site down here or a fraction of their program down here. So Resolute Cincinnati, and they started with some summer teams, and they've developed a box lacrosse league for high school and middle school. Started a little bit in the fall, and then it really took off in like December, January, February. So I mean, it's sponsored by U.S. It's like U.S. Boxla, so it's the U.S. Lacrosse U.S. Box Lacrosse Association. So it's above board, and you know, you have to follow certain rules, and you have to kind of follow their all the things that they do. And there's a little teaching going on, and then the kids play. And the best thing about it is, we're not in Canada where that's the major sport, box lacrosse, or we're not in upstate New York or places like that where kids learn to play box lacrosse first and field lacrosse. We're adopting box lacrosse to eventually just make our skill set or the smaller skill sets better. So the throwing and catching better, the catching inside traffic better, moving your feet and playing with your hands and feet defensively, two-man system offensively. That's the why we decide to play box lacrosse, to make us, not necessarily make us better box lacrosse players, but to take those inherent skills from box lacrosse and add it to what our kids already have as a field player.
Where are they playing these games? I mean, is it on
It's over in Milford, the Cincinnati Sport Complex, okay. or CSN or something. It's right not too far off of 28 there in Milford. So it's a nice indoor facility.
Strictly for lacrosse?
There's like soccer and stuff there,
so
too.
But size. I mean,
boarded fields, you have the small goals, like the 4x4 goals. You know, the goalies are all decked out in the big-time box gear. So it's a riot, too, because some of the goalies don't make it all the time, so whoever draws the short straw has to get in the cage, and it takes them like 15 minutes to get the equipment on. I mean, it's like they're going to battle, but You know, I mean, it's great, and our kids have loved it, and it's been a good time for them to, again, work together as a team. Sure. And the nice thing is that it's something that coaches can get involved in. So where Ohio High School Athletic Association doesn't necessarily look at box lacrosse and say that's a form of lacrosse, and, you know, you have to apply the OHSA rules.
Right, right.
This is something where it's like, this is box lacrosse. This is a different style of lacrosse that we don't sanction. And, you know, teams can play together. And that's been another big thing for us. We looked at it as, this is a great opportunity for us to have an entire our guys entirely play together versus five guys here and five guys from the other team and play on a indoor type of field or something like that.
Anytime you can get them working together and being around each other, and
obviously it's created a lot of camaraderie with the younger guys. I mean, we have a varsity team or like an older guys team playing in the varsity division. Then we have a team made up of a lot of sophomores, basically all sophomores and a few freshmen. Then we have an entire freshman team. And you'll hear it when the freshman team beats the sophomore team because they let them hear it a couple days ago in strength training. And it was good, you know.
Good for, that rivalry, that camaraderie, it's kind of that fine line there. Yeah. But it makes everybody better. You work harder and you don't want to lose to the freshmen, the younger guys.
No.
So. Of course, the younger guys want to beat the older
guys. Well, and then like the older guys have to play the freshmen, and it's not like they're like letting up on them. It's just like playing against your little brother, and you make sure it's tough, that just tough enough, and you give them a little tough love, you know. But at the end of the game, you know, they're all slapping high fives and stuff like that.
Exactly, so. It's making everybody better,
right?
In the end, that's what it's all about. We're here with Mueller lacrosse coach Sean McGinnis. It is our first episode of our 2019 Mueller Lacrosse Podcast. And we're just kind of getting things going as we're right around a month away from the start of the season. Very excited about that. We'll talk about the upcoming season, maybe the makeup and some of the returning players. Lost a lot of guys from a year ago and really that have been big contributors the last couple of years ago. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the schedule, including one big special game that we're very, very excited about. We'll tell you all about that coming up as we continue with Sean McGinnis, our Mueller Lacrosse Podcast on ESP Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.
Total Wealth Planning can partner, guide, and educate your family holistically on your financial goals and pursuits. Your dreams are better achieved with a trusted fiduciary like Rob Lemons and his team. Contact Rob today at 513-984-6696. That's 513-984-6696 or on the web at twpteam.com. Total Wealth Planning.
Back on our Mueller Lacrosse Podcast with head coach Sean McGinnis, brought to you by Total Wealth Planning. Again, 513-984-6696. Contact Rob Lemons. Appreciate their support of Mueller Lacrosse as we start to look ahead to 2019. We kind of teased it a little bit going into that break with the schedule. Of course, coaches as well. You got to round out all the coaching staff. The amount of players that you have coming in too, it's requiring.
Well, it's been a great off season. Looking at once school starts and you start to kind of, kids are filling out their final forms and says who's going to play, who's not going to play. We start looking and it's like at one point it's like 87 kids. Ooh. And we're like, wait a second here, starting on Tuesday, it's going to be about 84 kids. And that's big. I mean, that's three full teams, and it's the largest program, or it's the largest amount of players that I've had participate in the program before. And so, I think it's a testament to what we're doing as a program, the culture we're building inside the program, and then, you know, things like this and where we play and the social media. I think it all kind of plays into why, you know, we're getting these fine young men coming to play with us. And, you know, we've got a great staff again this year. You know, varsity hasn't changed. Ryan Ross, the strength coach, has really done a fantastic job in the offseason. These kids are pushing weight around, and I mean, it's going to be great having him a part of the regular season and doing stuff with us throughout the regular season as well. And then as far as the JV, we kind of have a little bit of an overhaul with the JV. Ryan Aloisio will still be our head coach for that. And then we're bringing on Sean Turner in a limited role right now, and he's an 18-year veteran coach from Upper Arlington, actually, who lives here in the Mason area. So he right now he's going to come in on a limited role until like some work schedules kind of work out. And then we're bringing back a former player alumni, Tony Lipp. I think graduated early 2000s, okay. And so he'll be coming back. And then just a couple other new JV coaches that are from the area that bring in a lot of experience and a lot of new energy, you know, to really work with the base of the program, which is all the freshmen and sophomores. So, again, looking forward to it, and it's going to be great.
And that, of course, is so important. I mean, people always seem to tend to overlook the freshman and the sophomore, the JVs, but that is the future down the road, and you want to develop them and make them a part of what is this whole overall culture you're building.
Yeah, you know, looking at the way we're going to practice this year, you know, you're going to have a tryout. We've not done that before, so we're going to have a tryout. And we're going to name the 30 best players to be either varsity or varsity practice players. And they'll be you know, working with the varsity coaches. And then you have the rest of the players that will make up either JVA and JVB. And you've got some great coaches down there that are going to be working with kids who maybe have a little bit of experience, the kids that have been playing for the last 3 or 4 years, and really just need to kind of fine tune and get used to and get their feet wet with college, or not college lacrosse, but high school lacrosse, so that maybe they break through as a sophomore or,
right,
you know, or in a couple of years.
Yeah, you find those good athletes that are maybe learning the game. I can remember talking to you 3 or 4 years ago when we first started doing this, and it was still trying to recruit kids at school to play lacrosse.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily that way.
No, and the big thing too is, especially with the sophomores and freshmen, is we have a lot of two-sport athletes. I mean, we got a lot of guys that are playing football and a lot of guys that are playing lacrosse. And the nice thing about that is where we had you know, guys that really love playing lacrosse and like football, and then maybe somewhere along the line they're like, I'm just going to focus on one. Right. And then it's like, well, I really love football, and I kind of like lacrosse, and I'm just playing it for the spring. And then eventually they kind of just focus on football. You can look down the list with the sophomores and freshmen. They love both sports, and they talk about how great they want to be at both sports. They are already talking about, you know, when we're seniors, you know, this is how, you know, we're going to be, and we're going to not settle for anything but this. And same thing with the freshmen. They're right. Coming in right now saying, you know, when it comes to football, this is our expectation. When it comes to lacrosse, this is our expectation as freshmen. So, and it's a good thing to have.
Yeah, I would think so. That's very, very exciting. So, as we look at the makeup, you lost a lot of players. In fact, we probably should talk, you know, a couple of those guys. We certainly don't want to. They're out playing big time college lacrosse now. Jack Stahanczyk.
Yeah, you know, that's a big time there. That, you know, kid from Cincinnati, Ohio, is actually a freshman starting for one of the top 10 Division I programs in the country, and that just shows you, if you buy into what we're teaching, you buy into what we're doing, you know, your dreams are coming true. So
that's very exciting, though, just to know what he was able to accomplish. And you've got, obviously, 17 seniors graduating.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the biggest one, Jack Stahanczyk, defensively. Offensively, you know, Logan Diebel, who's at Syracuse.
I
mean, winner right out of Christmas break, we thought he was going to redshirt, but now he's not redshirt. And, I mean, he's working really hard to get on the field right now at Syracuse. And then Justin Miller, offensively, midfield. Doing really well and working hard to get on the field at Cleveland State as a defensive middie. So, you know, we have some key holes to fill, I think, with our 10 seniors and the leadership that they're going to provide. And we're going to be able to fill those really quick. And we're going to fill it with guys, I think, that honestly have a little bit more talent than we've seen before. I mean, these guys
all around.
I think, you know, from a varsity perspective, you know, they may be a little young from a varsity experience. The talent pool that, you know, we're looking from is pretty deep. And these kids have been playing lacrosse for a long time now.
So when you look through some of the returners, and we'll go with the 10 seniors that you know that are going to be coming back, when you've got somebody like a Brendan Sigurdsson right at the very top of that list.
I mean, right.
That, talk about the scoring there.
Well, I mean, you know, Brendan is, you know, big time. You know, he's going to go to Cleveland State, but he's a big time recruit for college lacrosse, and he's really close to, I think, the 300-point club, you know, for us. I mean, he's very close to breaking some records this year. And, you know, he's going to anchor the offense, you know, along with Dylan Warner offensively, Dylan at the midfield and Brendan at the attack. And when it comes to defense, you know, you got two great leaders down there with Braden Titus and Conlon O'Brien, and then, you know, Reese Boggs is going to be coming in, and same with Ben Dahmeyer. So it's nice to have four senior defenders as well, because there's going to be some young guys around them. You know, offensively, you know, we've got those two senior offensive players, but the guys around them have a varsity lacrosse experience. So I think we're going to be more up to speed, you know, from an offensive side of the ball when we get going in March. And I think defensively, fill some holes and just kind of keep getting better throughout the season.
It's going to be nice to have four senior defensemen when another goalkeeper. You've kind of had to go through the senior goaltenders each of the last 2 years graduating. So this year,
yeah,
goaltender-wise?
We've been really lucky having you know, a goalie or two that have played varsity their senior year, or excuse me, have played like since like their sophomore year. And then you just, you know, they're like a backup their sophomore year, and then, you know, they're the starter for, you know, junior and senior year.
Right.
And, I mean, this year, you know, we'll have two sophomores working hard to kind of get on the field. And, you know, it could be, you know, starter by committee, you know, just whoever's the hot goalie.
Sure.
You know, gets the start. But, you know, we're going to be young in the cage, but, you know, I'll take that, you know, having basically all seniors in front of them, you know, so, or experienced varsity players, you know, that, yeah, that kind of, you know, doesn't concern us that much, you know.
As we look through the schedule, and again, we're recording this, by the way, so if you're listening back to this on Valentine's Day, so we're talking February 14th. Season begins March 15th, so we are literally 1 month away now from the season getting going. That's exciting within itself. As we look through the schedule, obviously the St. X's of the world are going to be there. You're going to take part again. So you're going up to the Columbus or Cleveland area.
Going up to Cleveland.
Yeah, Western Reserve.
Yep. So. Yeah, so we're going up to Cleveland, and we're going to play at Cleveland State. We're going to play St. Ignatius there. So Robert Morris and Cleveland State play, and we have alumni on both those teams. So it'll be fun to watch you know, our alumni for Robert Morris and Cleveland State play, and then we'll play Ignatius right after them. Next day, go over to Western Reserve Academy, play them. We haven't played them in a while. And then we get in a little bit early April. We get to play St. X in Nippert Stadium. And, you know, we announced it a couple weeks ago. And a lot of noise, a lot of traffic on social media. And I just think that's a game that, you know, you look at it as, you know, two great high school lacrosse programs should play in a great venue. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, we just hope to get a lot of people there and a lot of young guys, a lot of high school, or excuse me, a lot of middle school and youth lacrosse players just come out and watch, you know, two really good high school programs, you know, go after it. I mean, it's the, you know, 2017-2018 Ohio High School lacrosse champions battling, you know, each other in Nippert Stadium. So it can't get any better than that.
I know we're going to talk in a few moments with Andrew Cialdo from the University of Cincinnati about how they're going to get the field ready, because they've got women's lacrosse down there, but they have never played lacrosse at Nippert Stadium. So.
Well, I do. I have been Dave Eckert, if you're listening out there, I'm going to give props to him. He sent me a text, said I was wrong. I believe they played a men's club in the early or mid 90s down the
at
Nippert.
That's a different era, though.
But we'll say it's the first high school lacrosse boys lacrosse game at Nippert. So, but it's gonna be great, and it's a fun time to get out there on Friday night. And we just hope to have a great time down there.
That'll be one of several games that we are going to be broadcasting. I can't wait to call that game and how exciting that'll be. You know, looking through some of the other ones, Loveland on the schedule again. They're one of the few losses you had last year.
Yeah, so. I mean, like I said, I mean, they're in my time at Moeller, you know, we've only beat them once, and it's a testament to the kids over there that, you know, look at that, circle that game, and give us 100%.
You got the Midwest tournament again that you'll take part in May, and that's all right before you get into the state tournament as well. But, I mean, you look at that schedule, there's a lot of challenging teams that are on there, a lot of the Columbus teams.
Yep, and, being my sixth year and you see other people out there trying to, you know, travel and say, well, I have to go over here and I have to go over here for the talent or to test myself. And, you know, we just think that we don't have to travel that far. We can go up to Columbus, we can go down to Louisville, we can go to Indianapolis, and we can get some great games. And, you know, I just think that, you know, if we plan it the right way and have a couple, you know, tough games, and then, you know, a couple games that, you know, we're looking at where You know, we're taking care of business in the region and in Cincinnati, and then, you know, travel out again for a couple tougher games towards the end of the year. It just makes us that much better for the postseason.
It's good balance of the schedule. Yeah, when it's all said and done with, you got to have those games where you are going to be tested. You got to play the best to beat the best.
I think so. Yeah.
So there's some of those games in there as well. You know, I just very excited about this. Again, I know we're going to have a handful of games. Again, Total Wealth Planning helping sponsor the podcast, and we'll, of course, look for more sponsorship as well. I'm sure they can reach out to you to help out, because we want to support not only you, Sean, but what the young men are doing and what this program's
about. No
doubt.
And, you know, we've got great families in there, and we had our parent meeting not too long ago, and we talked about the gold standard of, you know, lacrosse parents, and, you know, kind of highlighted what it means to be a Moeller parent. And it's great to have the backing of the parents that do stuff like this and take care of our boys throughout the season.
Absolutely. So it's going to be exciting to get this going here, Sean. Again, less than a month. It'll be March 15th as Milford will actually be on the road, too. Play it at Milford, and then get to go up to Fortress of Betts again, too, for another game.
Yeah, back-to-back. We start out pretty quick, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be Milford and Olentangy, and then home with Trinity. And all the games are going to be on campus outside of the St. X game.
Yep.
All the home games will be back
in Jerry. Moved them back there. Boys love playing behind the school, and we just hoping this year, since they're at school, everyone comes out and watches.
Yeah, well, and we'll have some of those games for you as well. So we'll give you more details as we get closer to the season. But, Sean, very excited about this upcoming season.
Yep.
We're going to talk to Andre Cialdo coming up next from the University of Cincinnati. He's going to talk to us a little bit about how they're going to get the field ready with all the brand. In fact, they got new field turf, too. It's going to be.
There you go.
Yeah, he's going to tell us a little bit about that. I'm excited to listen to it. So
that's great. I appreciate it.
All right, Sean, we'll catch up to you in about a month or so.
Sounds good.
All
right. Thanks a lot.
That is Sean McGinnis, our Moeller Lacrosse podcast. One more segment coming up as we will talk with Andrew Cialdo. And again, our sponsor, big thanks to Total Wealth Planning. Contact Rob Lemons, 513-984-6696, or check him out online, TWP Team, TWP for Total Wealth Planning, TWPteam.com. More coming up, the Moeller Lacrosse podcast on ESP Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.
Total Wealth Planning can partner, guide, and educate your family holistically on your financial goals and pursuits. Your dreams are better achieved with a trusted fiduciary like Rob Lemons and his team. Contact Rob today at 513-984-6696. That's 513-984-6696, or on the web at twpteam.com. Total Wealth Planning. Are you looking to produce your own podcast? ESP Media has state-of-the-art audio and video production studios available for you. Our studio rental rates are the most competitive in town. Contact us today at sales@espmediasn.com or 513-655-4966. That's 513-655-4966. It's your podcast. We just produce it.
Taking a few minutes here now to chat with an associated athletic director at the University of Cincinnati. He is in charge of facilities and operations, and that would include Nippert Stadium, where the Crusaders and the St. X Bombers will get at it on Friday, April the 5th at 7:30. Andre Cialdo is with us. And Andre, hey, appreciate you spending a little time here with us today. I can't tell you how excited we are to move a high school lacrosse game down to the University of Cincinnati. This is something new for UC, bringing down lacrosse.
Yeah, certainly. Thanks for having me, first of all. And when Mike Asbeck approached me on this possibility, obviously we had to wait for the FCC schedule to come out and see how it fit into that piece. And that happened to be an open weekend, so it worked out perfect. Where we're certainly interested in utilizing Nippert in various ways, and having FCC there and obviously UC football there doesn't leave much opening.
You're right.
But we certainly can put things in when appropriate, and certainly this is one of those times.
And we'll talk about what the schedule's like for you here coming up in a few moments. But, yeah, I'm kind of curious, too, as well, with the whole lacrosse. This is a growing sport around the city of Cincinnati. I mean, it's been around for a while, but I think now we're starting to see an explosion to other schools. There's been a core group of schools that have had lacrosse going on here. Have you kind of sensed that? Or, I mean, obviously UC handles
high school football games down there. They've handled high school soccer games, and occasionally we'll get basketball games over at Fifth Third. But for something like lacrosse, is this kind of something now that you're just starting to hear for the first time?
Yeah, we are. Especially, I mean, we have women's lacrosse here at UC. So we've actually booked another lacrosse event from a group out of Chicago that's coming down and using Shakely for some lacrosse stuff. And this will be the first boys lacrosse game that we've had on campus since I've been here almost 6 years now.
Okay, and I did not, and I should have probably known that. I didn't realize that UC has women's lacrosse down there. So that's
But
it's weird because women's and men's lacrosse is kind of it's very different. They got different line markings, and it's a little bit different. Tell me about that for you now, getting a field ready like that. I mean, we'll talk about brand new turf down there at Nippert Stadium. What's it going to be like for you to change the field over and get the line markings that you need for lacrosse?
Things I did when Mike approached about this game is what does a boys lacrosse field look like? easy to find online, and it's actually fairly easy with some straight lines and just some circles in the right spots. Our crew here at UC, our facilities and ops crew, has become pretty good at painting lines. It's the removal that we're not up to doing yet. The removal process takes some heavier duty machinery and some chemicals, but our group has become pretty good at laying a string out and following along the string with a paint striper, and so I think we can tackle putting that boys lacrosse line down on Nippert and getting it ready for the game.
Now, and I think a lot of maybe there's a misnomer out there. This is the same turf, whether you're using it for UC football, for, like you said, FCC, soccer, or now the lacrosse. That's not a separate turf that you roll out. Was that the case early on with FC Cincinnati, or has it all been the same one turf?
So the first 2 years of FC Cincinnati's existence at Nippert, we did change out just the end zone pieces.
So okay.
If you think of a football end zone, we had a six-piece end zone on each side that we can roll out or have a company roll out and interchange with green inserts when we had soccer. After 2 years of on and off and on and off, it beat up that turf pretty good. It beat up the area under that turf pretty good. We made the decision last year to leave it just green inserts, and we continued to paint, obviously, so we could do different designs each game and things like that. And now this year, a new turf is in the process of being installed now by the Moats Group, where it's all green still, and there's no seams in the end zones this time. So it's all one surface. So playability and safety was our main concern there. We'll continue to paint for football, paint for soccer, paint for lacrosse, paint for whatever we need to.
For whatever you need, exactly. What is it time-wise to put down lines? Like you said, it's probably a lot easier than pulling the lines off and using the equipment, the chemicals, or whatever it is. So what's maybe a general time frame? For football, there's obviously a lot of lines that need to go down for football.
Yes. Call the football skeleton that we put down. So it's the boundaries, the 5 yard markers, a hash every 5 yards, and then we put the tops and the bottoms of the numbers down. We don't necessarily paint the numbers, but just the tops and the bottoms so the wide receivers can get their bearings. So we've gotten to the point where we can do that in about 2 hours.
Oh yeah.
So the removal process. So. Say, for instance, it's in football mode and Pioneer Paints has to come down and remove the football lines and stripe the soccer lines. That takes a good 12 to 14 hours, depending on weather. They have, for lack of a better word, a Zamboni that they ride along, and they scrub the lines off and squirt their chemicals down there to break up the paint and suck it up. And then so once they remove it all, they groom the field. With a groomer, a drag behind brush, and then they'll stripe it for soccer. So one thing we did in the previous turf project and in this turf project is we made tick marks in the turf itself. So if you look real closely, you can see little marks of different colors that represent the different sports. So that it makes it easier to stripe, and you can just follow the tick mark with your string from one tick mark to the other, so you don't have to measure it every time.
Now you're giving away your trade secrets there, Andre.
It's not that much of a secret, but if you don't know what you're looking for, you could miss it.
It's a fascinating process, that is for sure, and I can't tell you how excited we are to be able to be down there and be part of the first high school lacrosse game that's going to be taking place down at Nippert Stadium, and hope it's the first of many more. We've been down there for soccer, we've been down there for football, so bringing in another new sport, it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, we're excited to keep it going, and that relationship with Mueller has been pretty great for us too, so we enjoy having you the teams and the fans down here for that.
Well, Andre, we appreciate you spending a few minutes here with us and giving us a little explanation on that. I know Sean taking down some notes as well and finds it very fascinating. So, Andre, we look forward to seeing you down there when we get ready for the game on April 5th.
Our pleasure.
All right, appreciate your time. That is Andre Cialdo, Associate Athletic Director of Facilities and Operations at the University of Cincinnati.